Children born into families described as at risk are perhaps most at risk. They are threatened by a higher potential for infant mortality, health issues, abuse, and unfortunately, there are far too many children who are at risk. Their best chance rests with intervention, and for many, their best hope for that is the organization Nurses for Newborns. Now celebrating its 25th anniversary, Nurses for Newborns is exactly what the name implies, providing services to kids born into poverty, those with medical problems, those born to parents with less parenting skills. Joining me now to talk about the organization and what it does is Melinda Olemiller, Chief Executive Officer for Nurses for Newborns. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me on.
How many kids are at risk in our general area?
Literally thousands. When you look at our, we take a very broad definition of risk, and we can translate it actually into need. Not every child living in poverty is at risk for having a bad outcome, but it really starts stacking against you when you add poverty together with stressors for the family, homelessness, food insecurity. You start piling those on top of each other, and we end up with literally thousands and thousands of babies in our region who need additional support.
How do you find them? Do you find them, or do they find you, in a sense?
A little bit of both. Mm-hmm. Our referral sources, we receive referrals from the hospitals. All the hospitals who deliver babies in the area refer to us, health clinics, children's division, but also families can refer themselves. They can call our number and say, I need help, or I'm interested in learning more about your services, and they do not need a doctor's referral to come to us.
By the way, we will put that number and a link to your website on our website at stlpublicradio.org in case people feel that they do need your service. So what exactly are your services?
Well, we're a safety net provider, so we're looking at a broad array of issues that are going on with the family. But our nurses go in and provide a health assessment of the baby and mom at every visit. They perform some screenings, some specialized screenings. For example, we screen for maternal depression, and we're finding that about a third of our moms are needing additional support around depression, anxiety, and extreme stress. We also do developmental screenings of the babies once they get to be a certain age to make sure that their development is on track. Then can provide education and teaching on a whole variety of topics. Includes all families who are in our program learn CPR and how to address a choking infant, how to tell when a baby's sick, when a baby's well, when to use the emergency room, when not to use the emergency room, when to engage with a physician, when something can wait till the next morning. Then, importantly, we also connect families with resources that they may not know about or not realize that they're eligible for. And we have a directory of just literally hundreds and hundreds of resources that families can connect with depending on their needs.
Do the nurses belong to you, to the organization, or do they are associated with hospitals or
They are our employees. We hire only highly skilled, highly trained nurses. They have to have 3 to 5 years of experience in a hospital intensive care nursery or pediatric setting that prepares them for being out and serving families one at a time in their homes. All of our services are provided in the families' homes, and so the nurses are you know, making decisions and providing our services one at a time.
You know, I hate to even bring this up, but I think people might wonder. Sometimes the neighborhoods in which these children live are not the safest, and I would have to think there would be some concern about the safety and security of the nurses entering some of these areas.
You know, there is. Our nurses are braver than anybody that I know. They have they receive specific training on how to keep themselves safe, how to be watchful of what's happening around them. There's certain times of day that they may choose to visit a family. They feel it's safer than other times of day. We have a tracking system in our computer system where they load their appointments in so we know where they are. That's also a safety feature for them. But we serve every neighborhood, every zip code, every block in St. Louis City County and 20 counties in Missouri. We also have a second office in Nashville, Tennessee, and serve the Mid-Tennessee yeah. area. And in those areas, it ranges from very urban and sometimes neighborhoods known for violence, and it also ranges to rural settings where they may be going down an isolated lane or across a field to get to a family.
How many nurses do you have you can send out into the field?
We have 28 in our Missouri operations right now. We also employ community health workers who augment the work of the nurses and then sometimes provide translation. We have community health worker who speaks Bosnian, one who speaks Spanish, and one who speaks Vietnamese, so that we can serve immigrant populations as well.
How are they generally received in the homes they visit?
You know, most of our families are gracious and grateful and express a lot of gratitude for the services that we provide. Sometimes it takes a little bit of time and a couple of visits to establish enough of a relationship between mom or caregiver and the nurse. Many of our families have experienced trauma in their lives, and they're wary and may not trust us right away. And I think that's actually reasonable if you've had some of the life experiences that some of the families we serve have had. They have every right to be concerned about who's coming into their home and to work to build trust. But that's one of the first jobs our nurses have when they come into a home, is to help establish trust with that family and establish that they're there as a helper and not as someone who's going to get them in trouble.
I would have to assume it can be very touchy at times, because you're dealing with children who may be neglected. You're dealing with, at times, I'm sure, parents who may be addicts, or you're involved in domestic violence, some of the things, you know, the most unpleasant things about family life.
Yeah, some of the challenges that our families have, and again, very few of our families only have one challenge. They tend to pile up on each other, but if you don't have health insurance, that impacts how you interact with the healthcare system, and so we become very critical in maintaining the health of that family. They may not have access to other kinds of care that they need, like dentistry. They may not have any resources or support. Our families are getting more spread out these days. There may not be multiple generations. They may not have any role models. They've never seen anyone care lovingly for a baby. And so the nurses have an opportunity to intervene in all of these different levels.
The training that you mentioned a moment ago obviously goes above and beyond nurses training. Is there a course that these, I guess, men and women, nurses, true?
All of our nurses are currently women that provide services in the home.
What sort of specialized training, aside from those issues of safety that you mentioned earlier, do they undergo?
When they come to Nurses for Newborns, it's very rare for us to find a nurse who's already done home visitation. Our model, of course, is all in the home. Most of our nurses have been in hospital settings, and so not only do we have to teach about our work and our model, but they have to learn the tools of the trade to translate their skills from a hospital setting into a home setting. Mm-hmm. And so there's an onboarding process that takes several months when we hire a new nurse before she's going to be ready to serve families on her own. There's a mentoring process. There's some classroom time. There's some in-the-field time. That we're thoughtful about how we put that together so she feels confident when it's her time.
How long do they typically stay with you?
Our nurses, we actually are going to be honoring at our dinner auction this weekend three nurses who have been with us nearly since our beginning. One in particular who was hired within the first year Nurses for Newborns was open. She's still a nurse with us and has served literally thousands and thousands of babies. And then two other nurses who were hired in those first years as well and are still with us. And it's they provide such a wonderful historic perspective for our other nurses. And our nurses are generally older in their or farther along in their careers. They may have been working in the hospitals 10, 15, 20 years and want a change of scene. And maybe they've spent much of their career concerned about what happened to those babies that I discharged. What on earth happened? And now they get to see.
Well, I was going to ask about follow-up. I mean, obviously, when they go in and they're dealing with a situation with a child who might be at risk, how long do they stay with that child in terms of repeat visits and that sort of thing?
Well, our model allows for us to see families prenatally, and we will start prenatally. We're encouraging our referral sources to send us families before the baby's born. And we'll go in once a month until the baby's born. Now, once the baby's here, we like to be there within a couple of days of the baby coming home from the hospital, and then the nurse will come in about once a week. She has the freedom in our model to be able to go more if she needs to, if there is concern. And then we start stretching the visits out, and we can serve families up to when the baby's 24 months, so up to 2 years of age. Most of our families receive services in that first year. It starts kind of fading after that, but we can stay with them for 2 years.
I would again assume that you probably have some fairly heartwarming stories that you could pass along with regard to the success of this program. Do you have anything that comes to mind?
You know, some of our favorite stories that come back to us are there are too many to count. But some of our favorite stories are when we hear that a mom who was struggling, maybe a teen mom, a young mom, and really struggling to make ends meet and to provide for her baby and to learn all the ropes of taking care of that baby. And we'll find out a couple of years later that she enrolled in nursing school, inspired by the nurse that visited her. And I think there's no greater gift to our nurses to hear that they inspired someone else to join the profession of nursing. And to be in someone's home, help them care for their baby, they get, and our families get a front row view of what it takes. But we see families who survive horrendous trauma, violence, interpersonal violence, violence in their communities, things that would fell most of us, and yet they prevail. Get their families into a safer area. Have a baby who's been in the NICU, the neonatal intensive care nursery, for 3 months. Bring them home and have that baby thrive. And maybe they've never been successful at anything ever before, but they're able to do this. It's truly, truly remarkable, and such a privilege to be part of that and help them along.
I'd like to open our lines to, in the time that we have left, are there any listeners who'd like to be a part of this conversation? Give us a call at 382-8255, an email at talk@stlpublicradio.org, or send us a tweet at STL on air. Is there one problem that the nurses confront more often than another?
Well, I think depending on what area we see isolation. We see moms who don't have anyone to talk to about their child rearing, and that can be incredibly lonely. We also see issues with childcare. They want to go back to work, need to go back to work, have to go back to work. How do they figure out safe and affordable childcare? It was a serious concern for our families. The list is pretty long, but we really have an eye on specific outcomes. And so for example, we want to make sure that babies have their immunizations and they're fully immunized. And that's one of the things that we track as we go along. And an unimmunized baby can sometimes mean that baby hasn't received health care. And so a baby who hasn't received health care is at greater risk for long-term health problems than others.
What about teaching parenting skills? Most of us only know how to parent because of the way we were parented, if you will. And I know you're suggesting that the nurses get involved in this too. What sort of skills are most needed?
You know, they get involved in the basics. So, for example, soothing a crying infant is one of the first things you confront when you bring a baby home from the hospital. Is this baby's crying? I can't get them to stop. And that is one of the first and most fundamental parenting skills, is soothing a crying baby and feeding a baby, keeping a baby clean. And so they're going to be teaching, giving tips, giving, you know, not everything works for every baby. Here's four or five things you can try. But a crying baby can keep a whole family from sleeping. It can raise stress level for mom and for and so those simple tools can really help her move forward as a parent. And then as the baby gets a little bit older, promoting development, those kinds of parenting skills that get involved. How to integrate a baby with a sibling. You know, how not every sibling welcomes that new baby home. So those kinds of things.
Let's take a couple of calls and get the listeners in on this. We'll start with Jane, who's calling from St. Louis. Jane, thanks for being with us. Go ahead.
Oh, hello. You know, I don't want to make it a discussion about health care, but my sister-in-law is a nurse in England. And I know everybody likes to talk about the national health and how terrible and all the things that happen, which, of course, they happen here, too. But that is a normal thing. Every family, when a baby comes into the world, they get home visits from a national health nurse. And I think that the important thing here is, and I honestly, I think it's wonderful what you're doing and so needed. And I can tell there's a lot of heart in this. But, you know, it isn't only poor people who have these problems. We're beginning to learn more and more about the abuse and the lack of care and neglect that is evident in families who we all think know better, and they seem superficially to be doing better. But there are a lot of people out there that need a lot of help. And whenever you mention any of this, there are cries about Big Brother and big government entering people's lives. But honestly, there is a lot of help needed.
Jane, thank you for the call. Our time's getting away, and I want to give an opportunity for a response here.
I think, you know, you've brought up some really good points, and the one that I wanted to emphasize is that at Nurses for Newborns, we don't screen people for how much money they make. So anyone can call us and say, I'm in trouble. I need some help. And the only really two things that we have to ensure is that they live in one of the counties we serve, and that they have a young baby or are pregnant. And we will go at least one time to make sure that things are going well. So we do cast the net widely.
How are you funded?
Oh, boy. We have a variety of funding sources. About a third of our funding comes from state contracts. We get funds from the counties that we serve, several of the counties that we serve. We are a United Way agency, so we get funds from the United Way, foundations, and then lots of individual supporters who believe in our mission and invest in the future.
Over the years, any idea how many young people that you've served?
We're upwards of 100,000.
Wow.
In any given year, we serve right now about 3,000 babies system-wide, and in any given moment, we can open up our books, and we've got 1,000 babies that we're serving, and so it's a significant number.
It is, obviously. Let's take another call. Ken joins us from St. Louis. Ken, you're on the air. Is this the Ken I think it is?
Yes, it is the Ken you think it is. Hi.
Ken Haller.
Linda, hi, this is Ken Haller. How are you?
Great. Ken, go ahead.
Hi, Dr. Haller.
Hi. I just wanted to say that of those 100,000 families you've served, I think I've referred about half of them to you. and I'm just calling because I just have so much respect for what Nurses for Newborns does. I have had so many patients whom you have taken care of and who have come back to me and said that nurse was so nice and helped me so much. And, of course, Don, I know that on the show we've talked about things like toxic stress, which there's a lot more science about. And I think that Nurses for Newborns has been an agency that has been addressing toxic stress before there was a name for it. So I just want to thank Linda and Nurses for Newborns. Keep up the good work. And I support you, and I thank you for supporting our families.
He's a good guy to have on your side.
Absolutely. Yeah. Thank you, Dr. Haller.
Yes, we certainly appreciate the call. We'll take one more, and Josh in Quincy, Illinois will join us. Go ahead, Josh.
Hello, I was just calling. You sound like a very empowered nurse, and in Illinois right now they're trying to push for approval to have midwives working again in Illinois, and I just want to know what your take on that was.
You know, I don't think I can comment on that. I'm not up to speed on midwifery in Illinois, so I'm not sure I can add much to that discussion. We don't hire midwives at Nurses for Newborns because we're looking at specialized nurses who have taken care of high-risk babies.
Dr. Haller talked about toxic stress,
yes.
And that brings to mind, you know, mental issues. How well-equipped are the Nurses for Newborns to deal with issues of mental stress, anxiety, depression, what have you?
Well, we screen for it and watch carefully, and families who are experiencing high levels of stress and exhibiting signs of mental health issues get referred to providers. But we also have trained portion of our nurses through a program with a project that we're doing with Washington University to do brief interventions themselves. They're already there. And to help moms do some of the very beginning steps of how they can help can feel better, particularly right after the baby's born.
A minute left. What if there were no nurses for newborns?
I shudder to think. So many families over the years have counted on us. And maybe not, didn't even know that they needed the assistance until they were in the moment. And so I shudder to think what would have happened. There would be more babies who had been abused, more babies who have been, who've experienced neglect, who weren't immunized, so on and so forth. We make a big impact.
Very quickly, why don't you name the names of those two nurses who are being honored on Sunday night at your gala?
We have actually three nurses who are being honored. Lori Hyde has been with us from the beginning of time, and also Gwen Stubblefield and Deb Layton.
All right. Well, congratulations to them. A Night for Newborns dinner auction, August, the 25th anniversary of the organization,
that's right.
Correct? That's Sunday night at 5 o'clock at the Hilton in Frontenac. Thank you so much, Belinda Ola Miller, for being with us. Congratulations to you and the organization for all that it does.
Thank you. Thank you for having
me. Great to have you here. Archive versions of past St. Louis On the Air programs are available for download or podcast at stlpublicradio.org/stlonair. St. Louis On the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio 90.7 KWMU. Thanks so much for listening. I'm Don Marsh.